Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. This podcast is part of a series titled Esther, Strength and Dignity. If you'd like more information on our podcast or North Valley Church, you can find us at our website, nvcmd.org.
When I first was coming around the corner and figuring out, oh, maybe I'm supposed to do preaching, it was later in life. I spent the first 25 years of my life doing technology stuff. I was an electronics test engineer, and then I transitioned to being a software programmer. But God called me into something different. When you transition jobs like that, or roles, especially when they're obvious or public and you see other people, you start to identify with those other people. And as I'm trying to figure out what preaching looks and feels like for me, I'm listening to folks on the radio. Maybe I'm watching them on TV and I'm going, ooh, I want to try and be like that guy. So don't laugh. But I had a season where I wanted to preach like Tony Evans, right? I loved listening to Tony Evans on the radio, and I gave it a try, right? It didn't last really long, but I wanted to preach like Tony Evans. I loved listening to him. I loved his enthusiasm. I loved his the way he was able to inspire people and have an organized thought, and he was able to be intense, and it came across in the audio. After I struggled with that, I realized, yeah, Tony is just this big presence on a stage, and he's able to command that kind of presence when he preaches. For me, it took me a while to figure it out, but I realize now I'm a conversational kind of preacher, that I just try and sit and have a conversation and draw you into a conversation. Maybe you've had that kind of idea, that there's things that you've seen in other people or things you wanted to be, and you saw a model. It's like, I'm going to try and be like that person. And as we did that, we gave it a go, but it didn't always work out that way. But today, we are going to step into the book of Esther, and we're going to get a chance to meet Esther. But as we do, we're going to look at the characteristics that Esther shows us in Esther chapter 2. And we're going to look at how she demonstrates strength and dignity. As we do that, you might see some of the characteristics and go, wow, that sounds cool. Maybe I need to help make that happen for me. Maybe I can find a way to grow in that area. But I don't want you to get too stuck trying to be Esther, right? You might not be able to be Esther any more than I can be Tony Evans. She's a model, a type in God's Word that we can look at and go, there's some things about her I like and I want to aspire to. But I don't want anybody to leave today feeling like they have to be Esther and then carry the burden of not being able to achieve what they thought was a goal. So I want you to be who it is that God called you to be. But as we look at Esther, I want you to be open to maybe there's some qualities about who Esther is that you might like to take home and let God work through you in the coming weeks. All right, I've got like 15, 17 minutes. So I am going to rock through what it is that we're going to do, because I want to be respectful of being out of here, bless you, in 45 minutes. I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture that really are just to set up the timeline. The things I'm going to read aren't necessarily talking about Esther, but I just want to connect to what it is that we talked about last week. Last week, we did Esther chapter 1, and as we read through Esther chapter 1, we met King Xerxes, and we met a lady named Vashti. At the end of chapter 1, when we concluded last week, Vashti was no longer queen, right? Her and Xerxes had a disagreement, and Xerxes sent her away. And so she's no longer queen. I am, for the sake of time, we are not going to read all of the verses in chapter 2. So if you would like, you can have a homework assignment. Go home and read Esther chapter 2. But for the first couple passages we're going to read are simply to catch us up with the story so that we know what it is that we'll be talking about today. Vashti had been dismissed as queen. Xerxes actually went for like 4 years, fought a war, and came back. And then he was kind of bummed out that Vashti wasn't around. In verse 3, the narrative picks up. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem at the citadel of Susa. And let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. So the advisors recognized that the king wasn't real happy. And so somebody had the bright idea. Let's have a beauty pageant. Let's have a beauty pageant, and we'll let them compete for the king's attention. And the winner gets to be queen, right? What a great idea, sort of. The narrative is going to segue. We know that there's a beauty pageant getting ready to go on. Now we're going to meet two people. First person we're going to meet is a guy named Mordecai. Now, there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, among those taken captive when Jehoiachin was king of Judah. So if you were here on the first sermon a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the timeline that all these things happened in. Mordecai used to live in Jerusalem, in Judah. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and overran Jerusalem, he took Mordecai with him. Then Persia overran Babylon. And now Mordecai has ended up in Susa. Now we're going to meet Esther. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. So just setting up the relationship between Mordecai and Esther. They were officially, technically, cousins. But apparently Mordecai was older. Esther was younger. She had lost her parents. So Mordecai stepped into the role of parent for Hadassah, who was also known as Esther. So we see the relationship between Mordecai and Esther. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa. Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of them. We've set up the story. King was lonely because he kicked out Vashti. Someone decided, let's have a beauty pageant. We meet Mordecai and Esther. And Esther, being a beautiful young woman, was taken and made part of what was going to be a beauty pageant to become queen of Persia. Now we're going to step into Esther's interaction during this process. And we're going to pull out some things and identify some things that Esther does and how she responds and the impact that it has on the people around her. She pleased Haggai, who won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. So soon as Esther shows up to the scene, there's something about her that instantly wins the favor of this gentleman named Haggai, who is in charge of all the women in this beauty pageant contest. In the NIV, which we're reading out, those first phrase there in verse 9, she pleased Haggai. I kind of inserted Haggai because the pronoun was distant in return, so whatever. She pleased Haggai and won his favor. If you go back to the original Hebrew it's written in, you could translate that to say she lifted grace to his face. That when she was there, she acted in a way and made it apparent to Haggai the kind of person that she was. And apparently, she was the kind of person that he won favor, right? He's hanging out with a bunch of girls who think they're going to win the pageant and be queen of Persia, right? So there's probably some there who are carrying attitude, right? I got this. Y'all just might as well sit down, right? So there's some of them. There's some who are wondering why they're there at all. And then there are some who are just there, I am here. And though this is an awkward situation, she might not even be sure that she wants to participate in it, right? She's a Jew. Why would a Jew want to marry this Persian king? But she recognizes where she's at and what it is that's going on, and she submits to the process. I want you to catch that. She submits to this process and is willing to make her grace-filled charm, instead of having a poor attitude and rubbing people the wrong way, be apparent in what she's doing. She exhibited verbal self-control. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Right? Being Jewish probably wasn't a good thing back then. If you read back in the book of Daniel, which talks about the days when it was under Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel and his three buds regularly got in trouble because they were worshiping God and trying to be obedient to him, and it didn't always get received well by the people they were living with. So being a Jew, probably not popular. But Mordecai said, it will be best if you just hide that for now. As we read the story of Esther, she's going to get a day to be able to reveal that. But Mordecai, for whatever wisdom he drew on, knew that Esther should do that. And she was able to not talk about it. Not talk about it. Sometimes that's something we struggle with, is verbal self-control. Self-control is a thing that opens up opportunities for us to be able to rein in our hurts and our angers. And if I can be self-controlled with that, it allows opportunity for love to be able to be a part of my space. But if I let my anger run rampant, Bible's pretty clear that no good things come of that. If I don't do something to resolve the hurts, I live there instead of being able to give and receive love freely. So self-control is a big deal, and Esther is exhibiting that in her not telling people where she's from. She exhibited humility. When the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. Esther, we're not reading all the verses, but other women wanted this or that or this. Instead of picking her own thing, she leaned into the guy who she thought would have the better choice. Hey, what's your suggestion? Esther was willing to not think that she had all the answers. Esther was willing to put aside her own pride and her ego and to be able to think in humility and say, what do you think? For us to be able to grow in wisdom and learn from other people, there needs to be a moment when we're willing to admit that we don't know all of what's going on. I could do better if I reached out and sought some help. We do that when we go to school, right? We do that when we buy books and try and learn and grow. When we do it that way, that we're conscious of what it is that we're doing. I just want to take a moment to point out that there's another level of humility and being teachable that involves having a brokenness. That we're able to listen and learn to the things we didn't know we didn't know. And the things that are going on around us that we aren't even aware that's going on, are we willing to be broken and go, oh my gosh, I wasn't even aware that was going on. Give me a chance to step into that and to be able to learn and grow from that. Esther was exhibiting humility, and the humility put her in a place that she was able to gain wisdom and end up doing a wise thing. Now, for those of you who are into vocabulary, I don't think we use this word very much today. Winsome. Esther was winsome. All the things that Esther's doing, read what this verse says. Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. Esther won the favor of everyone. Everyone. She was just, there was something coming out of Esther that everyone was attracted to, was appealed by. When you look at the definition of the word winsome, it means sweetly or innocently charming, engaging. Again, it's funny. We don't use that word much. But there was something about what Esther was doing that made her sweetly charming and engaging to everybody. And everybody liked Esther, including the king. Now, the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the others. Esther won the beauty pageant. Let's give it up. Give it a round of applause for Esther. These characteristics that we're looking at, they put her in a place to have an opportunity to do something she doesn't even know yet. I want you to think about that. She wasn't there to win a beauty pageant. She was there to save her nation, to save her people. She doesn't know that yet. But when we adopt the character traits that God's calling us towards, it puts us in the place so that we can do things and be ready to do things that we can't even imagine today. That's why it's cool to take a moment and go, am I the kind of person God's designing me to be? Maybe some of the things that we've talked about so far, we got a couple of more to do, but maybe the things that we've talked about so far don't all feel like a fit for you. But I would love for you to be able to take some time today and this week, God, who really are you calling me to be? And what is it that I maybe can do to become more of that person? Esther had a teachable spirit. Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instruction, as she had done when he was bringing her up. Again, I had talked about humility and how it rolls into being teachable. And she may have not understood completely why it was a big deal to not tell people that she was Jewish. But nonetheless, she was willing to trust Mordecai's input and do what it is that he asked her to do. She had a teachable spirit. And when we think teachable spirit, I want you to think about that. It's not the, yeah, I like going to school. I like reading books and learning stuff. A teachable spirit is somebody can come alongside you and say, hey, how would you feel about looking at and growing in this area? And we would be open to those conversations. That kind of concludes the beauty pageant story. But at the end of chapter 2, there's one more little event that happens. So it's not part of or connected to the pageant, but I want to take a moment and look at what happens there. Esther exhibits loyalty. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot, because he was always hanging out at the king's gate, and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. It just looks like today we're reading that going, okay. Esther's simple loyalty in this moment, loyalty both to King Xerxes and to Mordecai, her ability to exhibit that loyalty is going to set up and put into play events that are going to be really uber important later on in the story. That's what I want for us to grasp today. All Esther is doing is being the best Esther she can be. And as she was the best Esther she could be, she impressed the people around her. And it is going to put her in a place to be able to do things she has no idea that she's going to be able to have the opportunity or even the strength and the dignity to be able to do. As we wrap up, maybe one of these things that Esther has talked about, that we've seen in Esther, maybe that's calling to you. Or maybe right now God's talking to you. Hey, you know what? Maybe there are some things in areas that we want to do that. As you think about places you want to grow, I want to encourage you and remind you. If you're not that today, if you try harder, you will absolutely guarantee that you won't be that. When I'm counseling people, I'm not a big fan of the word, let's try harder. Because whatever it is that we've been doing is how we got to where we are today. What we want to do is walk alongside with the Holy Spirit. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He transforms us. If we want to be more of one of these things, or maybe something else that God's talking to you, you need to be investing some time with God and asking His Spirit to begin working His transforming power so that we can become the people God wants us to be. If you are not sure how all that works, maybe where we need to open that door is to invite Jesus Christ into your life. To recognize that we have the Holy Spirit to be able to transform us and help us be the people He designed us to be, because Jesus came to the earth, lived a perfect life, and died to pay the price for our sins and restore our relationship with our Father in heaven. And when we accept that truth and His forgiveness and leadership in our life, we're forever transformed. We're forever transformed that we get an eternity in heaven, but we also receive the Holy Spirit the moment we do that, so that we can begin to learn and grow and become the people He's designed us to be. If you've never done that before today, please come talk to me. If you can't do that, you can send an email to info@nvcmd.org. I would like to invite the band up, please. And while they are coming up, I would like for you just to sit quietly for a moment and go, what is God telling me today? Is there a particular area that you can put your finger on and go, I would like to be different here? God, I think I hear you talking to me to be different here. Show me how to do that. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you for Esther. Thank you for the example she shows us and how we can see that her character and the things that she does and how she treats people not only impacted her winning a beauty pageant, but those things are going to put her in a place to be able to save her people, to save her whole nation. God, help us be mindful of how important those things are. Help us be reflective with you so that we can put ourselves in a place to be used mightily and powerfully by you for your good purpose. Pray that you would open our hearts and minds and recognize for us to be able to do that and be that, it comes from your strength. God, you are our strength, the one who enables us to transform and be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Would you join us for the last song?